In a world where police officers are often reduced to either heroes or villains, Walk the Blue Line offers something far more valuable: raw, unfiltered truth from those who live behind the badge. These first-person accounts reveal a reality where routine traffic stops can turn deadly in seconds, where split-second decisions determine who lives and dies, and where the psychological toll accumulates with each traumatic encounter. What emerges isn't a monolithic portrait, but a mosaic of individual officers navigating impossible choices while trying to maintain their humanity. Jake, a second-generation officer who joined SWAT seeking the most elite position in law enforcement, learned how quickly situations escalate during his first mission when someone fired an AK-47 through a door. "I could have died that day if we'd breached differently," Jake reflects. "That experience changed how I approach every operation." The journey from academy graduate to seasoned officer transforms both professional identity and worldview. Tim O'Brien, who left the mortgage industry at 30 for policing, explains, "The academy teaches procedures, but real policing requires life experience and judgment. What looks black and white in the classroom becomes countless shades of gray on the street." For many, this transition involves painful lessons. Matt Burrows, a military veteran, spent his first day of field training watching someone die despite his efforts. "That moment changed everything," he recalls. "It taught me that being a good cop means accepting that sometimes your best isn't enough." These formative experiences shape officers' approaches in lasting ways. Some, like Louis Aguilera, are driven by childhood trauma, witnessing gang members murder his neighborhood ice cream man when he was 9. Others, like Orlando Sanchez, grew up navigating gangs on Chicago's West Side before deciding to patrol those same neighborhoods, giving him unique insights that help build community trust. For helicopter pilot Corey Green with Maryland State Police Aviation Command, each shift brings life and death scenarios. One winter morning, he treated a 7-year-old mauled by a pit bull. Hours later, he searched snow-covered mountains for a 73-year-old with dementia. These situations demand split-second decisions, like transporting a hypothermic patient immediately rather than waiting for ground medics. Alongside heroism come heartbreaking encounters that leave lasting psychological scars. Keith Broughton still recalls stopping a desperate father from rushing into a burning apartment where his 2 sons later died. "That father's screams still wake me up at night. I did what protocol demanded, but the human cost haunts me." The psychological toll shows in Brad Wagner's confession about responding to his 5th suicide scene in 2 weeks. "What disturbs me most is my own coldness. When my sergeant asks what we have, I reply matter-of-factly, a dead guy." This numbing effect, a defense mechanism against constant trauma, represents one of the profession's hidden costs. While media highlights controversial incidents, most police work involves civil matters and helping people in crisis. Rachel Tolbert describes working with Jimmy, a meth-addicted electrician with a criminal record. After arresting him, she helped get him into drug court instead of prison. A decade later, Jimmy invited her to his AA meeting, where he received his 10-year sobriety coin, thanking her for treating him with respect while holding him accountable. Jim Foster built relationships with homeless individuals on the Pacific Coast Highway, including crack addict Tiffany Hall, whom he consistently encouraged. Years later, at a press conference, he reunited with a sober Tiffany, now educated and raising her grandchildren. She credited his consistent respect for transforming her life. These success stories contrast with systemic failures. Brad Wagner describes a neighborhood where residents frequently call 911 yet refuse to cooperate with investigations. In one case, a killer named Todd Robinson stood watching in the crowd after a shooting, but no witnesses would identify him. The street code against snitching protects criminals and perpetuates violence. 21-year-old officer Tom Vento faced profound trauma when responding to a suicide scene where he discovered the victim's tooth stuck in his boot. Despite attending a debriefing, Vento remained silent, believing real cops don't speak up about mental health. 10 years later, his wife noticed his compulsive light checking, a behavior stemming from the incident. With encouragement, Vento sought help from the department's social worker, who recommended EMDR therapy. After 5 sessions, he felt the traumatic memory walk right out of my life. This healing journey represents a shift in law enforcement's approach to mental health. Vento notes he knows only 1 officer killed on duty, but 5 who died by suicide. Ashley Smith now serves as a suicide prevention officer, offering anonymous peer support to struggling colleagues. The psychological impact extends to officers' families, too. Jared Arsenault developed PTSD and hypervigilance after a shootout with a drug dealer, internalizing his trauma until his SWAT work helped him recognize the importance of seeking support. Jackie Dean, a 24-year-old female officer working rural areas with distant backup, relies on CrossFit and faith for strength. Responding alone to a threatening ex-prisoner call, she confronted a large man who punched her and tried to flee. During their violent struggle, he straddled her, repeatedly striking her face. Fearing he'd take her weapon, she drew her Glock, but he knocked it aside as she fired. When he heard approaching sirens, he fled, but she pursued until another deputy helped apprehend him. Despite a broken nose and hematomas, Dean remains committed to policing as a worthy cause. Her experience illustrates the physical dangers officers face, particularly female officers who may be at a size disadvantage against larger assailants. Keith Broughton describes drawing his weapon on a man charging him with a 2x4 and butcher knife. With finger on trigger and shouting commands, the suspect finally stopped just 15 feet away, narrowly avoiding a justified shooting. Walk the Blue Line reveals the humanity behind the badge, the fears, doubts, triumphs, and tragedies that shape those who serve. Officer John Riley captures this sentiment when describing a tense encounter. The thin blue line has become a gray, fuzzy area. We're just family guys trying to do the right thing in an upside-down world. Officers are simultaneously warriors and counselors, enforcers and protectors, witnesses to humanity's worst moments and catalysts for its redemption. They make life and death decisions while facing public scrutiny that often lacks understanding of their daily realities. Most poignantly, they continue serving despite the toll. ATF agent Mitchell Widow, who responded to both Columbine and roadside bombs in Iraq, reflects, "Though emotionally devastated by these memories, I know I must continue my mission. Get up, go to work, and help people." This commitment to protect and serve all community members, regardless of how they view law enforcement, represents the ideal most officers strive to uphold, even as they acknowledge the profession's imperfections and their own limitations.